Hello and welcome to Gamercast episode 196. This is recorded on the 26th of April 2010, and my name is Paul. Joining me this week is, of course, Catherine.
Hello.
Adam isn't here because we're doing it at a weird time, blah blah blah.
Now for the news.
This week on the news, first up, we've got Tow Truck Simulator.
Wait, is this from those guys who make all these simulator games from Deutschland?
Yes. And published by Excalibur Publishing, who publish like all the simulators over here.
Oh, sounds fun.
So it got officially kind of announced, I suppose, because it hadn't been beforehand. And we're mentioning...
Wait, isn't the cool thing about this is you can like tow people's vehicles for no reason?
Yep. But you can also help out in accidents as well as just towing like...
Accidents?
Wrongly parked cars.
Realistically, how many hours would you have to play the game to come across an accident? I'm hoping, like, in the hundreds of hours before you see an accident, because let's face it, on the roads, you don't really see that many accidents. So I think the main point of this is just, like, a Grand Theft Auto tow truck game, where you have a tow truck and you just borrow people's cars.
It's supposed to be illegally parked cars. Not just any old cars.
What's the point in it, then? I want to steal that car over there.
Simulator.
Simulator. Why don't they put simulator in the title?
Tow truck simulator.
So this is the Sims expansion pack? I don't get it.
Okay, so yeah. Tow truck simulator. officially announced.
Wait a second.
You okay?
Not really.
Do you want a drink?
Yes.
There you go.
Wait, I'm not drinking out of a Mickey Mouse glass. Somehow you can put it back.
Fine. Okay. So that officially got announced, and it's coming out this week. We'll mention it again briefly.
It's only just been announced, and it's already coming out this week.
I believe so, yeah.
That's mental.
Unless it already had been announced. This was maybe a reminding people it's been announced.
Oh, one of those sort of announcements.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway. So yeah, that's cool. If you want to be tow truck driver. Next up.
So wait a minute. Is it in like the same graphics engines like UK Truck Sim and all these games?
It's actually more demanding than the other ones, so it might be a bit better.
Well, I suppose it'll have more traffic or something, when, or at least parked
cars. We'll have
cars.
More cars in it, won't it? Well, yeah, so that's cool. Next up, Bright Falls has been announced. For anyone who knows of Alan Wake, it is set in a place called Bright Falls. And Microsoft have officially announced that they're doing a little series.
Wait. Bright Falls?
Yeah.
What is it? Other than where Alan Wake is set, what are they announcing here? What's going on?
I was just about to say, Microsoft have confirmed that they're doing a 6-part miniseries, which is a prequel to Alan Wake.
Oh, and is this like... CGI or
this is
live action.
Or it's live action
animated,
it's or live action
or what, can you tell us what
it's
it is?
It's live action, and they didn't actually even ask Remedy about it. They went out and made it and then showed Remedy and asked, what do you think of this?
And Remedy were like, okay,
well, they got some promotional stuff made for them pretty much for free, I'm sure. Well, I doubt it's for free.
Hey,
I don't know how things
Remedy
work.
Have like really milked Microsoft on this game, so you know, if Microsoft want to produce a mini series.
Yeah, they must
have.
But yeah, so the first episode is airing.
Oh yeah, we'll do this cool game for you guys. Yeah, that sounds like a cool idea. Here's some money. 10 years later the game comes out, and meanwhile Microsoft spent £150 million on paying everyone's wages for 100,000 years. Carry on.
The first two episodes are coming out on Xbox Live exclusively.
Oh, Xbox.
On April.
Can I get it on the PSN?
On April the 30th in the UK. And they're going to be on the Bright Falls website, which is brightfalls.com, on the 4th of May. So you got the first two going up in 4 days' time. And then subsequent episodes will be then on the 8th of May and the 14th of May. And the last two episodes come out May the 18th, which is after the release of the game, of course, because the game comes out on the 14th.
Fun.
So yeah, that's cool. We'll watch it. Or I'll watch it. You're taking your glasses off.
Have you only just noticed?
Yep.
Yeah, the next game is The Whispered World, which came out last Friday.
Yep, it was just a quick thing reminding people
this is
out.
The game where the main dude, I'm sure, is a leprechaun with leprosy.
No. Sorry, Paul, you're wrong. He's a sad clown. But yeah, so...
Sad clown? It looks like a leprechaun. It sounds like a leprechaun. It is a leprechaun. Just because his profession is a clown, it doesn't change the fact he's a leprechaun.
So you should be able to buy The Whispered World from most stores. It's got retail at £20, so it's not
expensive. Yeah, I saw it in-game.
Yeah. I haven't seen it anywhere yet, actually. I've seen it on websites. Okay. I heard you the first time. But yeah, so that's just a brief thing to say. It's out now. Go buy it. I'm sorry. Go buy it. Okay, so next up, Super Mario Galaxy 2.
What's that then?
The sequel to Super Mario Galaxy.
Or is that the sequel to Super Mario Sunshine?
It's not really the sequel to Sunshine.
I want my water thing.
So they've announced a few more bits of information on it. So there's... Well, on some of the new suits. So you've got Cloud Mario, which can create cloud platforms, which you can then reach higher areas in the sky. Rock Mario, you can roll into enemies. And elements. I'm not really sure what element is.
Hydrogen, helium, lithium.
So yeah, it's Rock Mario, you can roll into things and kill them. Kind of like Major Ruin in Cameo.
Major Ruin is awesome!
Hate playing with him and then turning into Chiller.
I didn't like Chiller because of the way he moved.
It's quite slow.
Yeah. Awkward.
But also as well, in Galaxy 2, you can also play with a friend. And like in the first one, collect star bits with the Wii remote. But now in... Well, actually, no, sorry. That was, of course, the original. And in number 2, your friend can play as Luma.
Who's Luma?
The little star guys.
Oh, the little star guys.
And they can hold enemies down and immobilize enemies for you.
Sounds fun.
But obviously, because they're jumping on co-op ever since New Super Mario Bros.
Yeah, some Halo news.
I was just going to say, of course, the Mario Galaxy 2 is set to come out the 11th of June this year.
Yeah, some Halo news.
Yes.
They've announced the collector's edition of... Halo Reach, which they're going to call, like before, the Legendary Edition. Yes. And this will come with a bunch of stuff.
When has it got an official date?
Fall.
I got an email from where I pre-ordered it saying, oh, by the way, the release date slipped to September. So I didn't even
know. What was the release date before?
I don't know. I was thinking, maybe they put May by mistake.
No, Microsoft have not announced a date for it. Bungie have not announced a date for it, other than autumn.
That's 2010
or holiday 2010, I'm not sure.
Okay, so
which
as
they said,
as Paul said, there's special editions. So they're doing like they did with Halo 3. They've got a limited edition which comes in a Oni black box. Oni, what's that? Is that something to do with Halo Universe?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's their intelligence branch of the UN. Space Global Earth Friendly Alliance Human People.
Okay, so it comes in a recovered Oni black box. It gives you some exclusive elite armor for use in the multiplayer.
Yay.
And an artifact bag that contains Dr. Halsey's Dr. Halsey's personal journal and other classified documents that relate to the Halo universe.
That's the lady who built the Spartans.
Oh, okay. Was she
by
in...
built, I mean abduct, clone, alter, and put in armor.
Okay. And then as well as that, which is the limited edition, which has got an RRP of $59.99.
Yeah, so that would be like in a double DVD box or something.
Hopefully
like that.
Hopefully not
it?
The same as the Halo 3 one, which got scratched to hell.
I don't remember what the Halo 3
it was a,
middle
a,
one was.
A chunky tin? And it had two... You could open one side, and you could open the other side. And then you could open the middle. Actually, no, you could just open it
I still don't remember, because I had the Legendary Edition, which was just a regular DVD box.
I had so many people return the Limited Edition one, because the disc holder thing wasn't very good, and the discs fell out and scratched in transit.
Yeah, too bad.
Yeah, so they're doing the Limited Edition, and then they're doing their Legendary Edition, which
will probably be up over £100, won't it?
Well, it's £100 at the moment.
Okay.
Which is quite nice because, of course, the Halo 3 Legendary Edition was 120 quid, right?
Yeah, and it came with a dude helmet. I know, I went down with Adam on the Midnight Launch and we both got a copy of
it. I worked for the Midnight Launch.
I bought it on the Midnight Launch because I was not working, okay. So I bought it and then I went home and played it.
I bought it and some other stuff. Can't remember what else I bought.
WoW time cards.
Why did I buy WoW time cards?
Mm-hmm. Shall we actually get on with
the topic at hand? You're making me... I can't think of the word.
You get distracted too easily.
I do get distracted. Not as much as Adam. Adam gets distracted.
Oh, hey, Adam.
Hey, Adam. If he's listening.
Which I doubt.
Okay, so the Legendary Edition, instead of having a helmet this time, because, of course, you know, if they did that again, it'd be old news. But it's featuring...
Does this helmet actually fit me now? Look, I'm the Master Chief with just the helmet. I'm cool.
It has all the contents of the limited edition, so you're not missing out on anything, which is good, because if they release stuff in the limited edition that you didn't get in the legendary, it'd just be stupid and annoying.
Buy both.
Lots of things have done that. I can't remember what, but...
Buy both.
Yeah, so you get a noble team statue.
Yep.
Which is crafted by McFarlane.
Who's that?
McFarlane... own Spawn.
Webinized.
And they make figures. They make quite high quality figures. I've got a Tetsuo from Akira that's like quite high quality. Of course you wouldn't know what I'm talking about, but it's cool. It's cool.
I've got a game. I play the game.
Okay, cool.
The game is called Grand Theft Auto 4.
So you get a noble team statue.
Team is the team of Spartans you actually play as in the game.
Yeah.
Well, now, of which you are a part of in the game.
Which are apparently individually moulded. I'm guessing that just means not a machine.
No, it means they're individually moulded and then they're stuck on the stand.
Oh, okay, okay. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. And then they're hand-painted and numbered.
Hand-painted. Get a robot
now,
to do
it. Now, if they're hand-painted, they better actually be painted well.
Yeah, that's the thing. Get a robot to do it, then at least they'd all be, you know...
Because you can get so many badly painted figures.
Well, yeah, especially if they've just got some dude who they got off the street to do it in Shanghai. It's like, here, we pay you $1, you paint 1 million of these. Okay. And then he just, like, makes them all the same colour. Just blue all over.
Well, especially for 100 quid. You know, it's got to be quite good. But yeah, so they're hand-painted and numbered. They also apparently were, the 10 inches. I don't know if that's height. I'd imagine height. And it weighs 10 pounds. I'm not sure what it's made of. Nothing says.
Plasticine, which is why you can remold it into other things.
And it all comes in a nice UNSC. UNSC. I can't say.
United Nations Space Command.
Themed custom packaging, which looks quite nice, especially if it's not made out of card. Because my legendary box for Halo 3 got a bit hurt because it was just made out of card.
You can have mine.
That's okay. Mine's back home somewhere. And then you also get an exclusive Spartan armor. As well as the elite armor.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, that's cool.
So which one are we buying?
I'm buying the legendary. I've already pre-ordered it.
Can I use the armor?
We'll have to see.
Fine. Well, there's no point in us having two of them. Because, let's face it, they'll only take up loads of space.
Yeah.
Like... Brutal Legend figures, a giant shark,
Assassin's Creed figure,
Assassin's Creed guy, and all these other things.
All this other crap of mine.
Yeah, all that stuff in the living room.
Another thing as well, briefly, is they've announced that there's tomorrow. Is this going to be when...
I'm going to upload this tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay, so today...
For those listening on the day of release, yes. Which is Tuesday, the 27th of April, 2010.
So on the 27th of April as well. Bungie and Microsoft are releasing a kind of short film called Birth of a Spartan, which is a live action short. I really don't get why they're airing it when they are. So it's 60 seconds long. Well, actually, no, there's a 60 second ad short. I'm not sure if the thing itself is 60 minutes. Oh, there's also going to be a 2 minute 30 second version. But they're going to show a 60 second version in the UK tomorrow. Well, on the 27th of April on Sky Sports 2 when they finish some match.
And even it's a Champions League semi-final between Lyon and Bayern Munich.
And so you can do that, or you can apparently watch it live or on demand on the Sky Player, as well as, if you miss it then, you can catch it on Wednesday the 28th of April on ITV1 after the Champions League semi-final between Barcelona and Milan.
Inter Milan.
It's like, is that their new target audience, football people?
Yeah, well, you know, they'll obviously be quite high-watched events, so...
Well, because they're semi-finals.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Champions League, dude. That's watched by at least...
Millions?
20 people.
20.
Unlike everything else, which is watched by about 2 people. So, yeah, that's a good time to do it. It's also interesting because maybe at the end they'll mention that if you buy Halo 3 ODST, you get the Reach multiplayer beta, which is why they're probably pushing it now, because the beta starts up in the beginning of May.
Yep. They've got a countdown on the official Microsoft website now. Or on the Xbox.com website, sorry. I noticed that earlier. But yeah, it's also being broadcast on other channels. But if you go to welcometonobleteam.com on Tuesday at 5 a.m. in the morning, you'll be able to watch the show there.
I don't think I'll be getting up to that.
No, that's cool. But yeah, so that could be good. I don't know. Okay, so next up, we've got Marvel vs. Capcom 3 was officially announced. This was announced at Captivate 2010, which I'm going to mention briefly after Marvel vs. Capcom 3 as well, because of the games that have been announced. But so it's actually been a decade almost, or it has been a decade, since Marvel vs. Capcom 2 came out on the Dreamcast, which is an awesome game, except extremely hard for people who aren't very good at fighting games like me. So they're making Marvel vs. Capcom 3 now. It's called Marvel vs. Capcom 3 Fate of Two Worlds. So far, the only confirmed characters are what's in the trailer, which you can check out on our Gamercast YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/gamecast.net. Dot spelled D-O-T. That's cute.
What's cute?
You're going really, really tiny.
Well, I'm just zooming in and out in Explorer. We could do that.
So confirmed so far, there's Chris Redfield, the Hulk, Iron Man, Wolverine, Ryu, and Morrigan from Darkstalkers, for those who don't know.
I have no idea what you're on about.
Marvel vs. Capcom. So Marvel characters versus Capcom characters.
Boring.
In a fighting game.
What's this, an Adam game?
Hey, I like Marvel vs. Capcom. I find it too hard, but I like it.
Okay.
So the trailer that they've put up is more of a teaser, really, because it doesn't actually show the gameplay. It's like the original Street Fighter 4 kind of trailer that they put up, that it wasn't actually gameplay. It was like a teaser kind of trailer. But yes, that's cool. They're finally doing that. I'm sure lots of people will be happy. Although it isn't 2D anymore, it's going to probably be 3D, or I imagine it will be, because of course they'll use the Street Fighter 4 engine, because otherwise it's a waste of money if they don't. But yeah, so you can check that out, as I said, on our thingamajiggy Gamecast YouTube channel. And it's set to come out on PS3 and Xbox 360 in the spring next year. Okay, so as I mentioned just now, Marvel vs. Capcom 3 was announced at Captivate 2010, as well as a few other titles. So Capcom officially announced Okami Den, which is a sequel to Okami, with the PS2 game. And it's being released on the DS only in some time next year. There's not been an official announcement yet for that. But it should be quite cool. It takes place a few months after the events of Okami and follows Chibi-Terasu, who is a young version of the Sun God.
The what and the who now?
It's Japanese stuff.
Japanese, huh?
Can you scroll down a little bit, please? Just, no, okay. Yeah, so you play as a young dog as opposed to an older one. They announced Sengoku Basara, Samurai Heroes. The only Sengoku Basara game that we've had previously out in the UK here is Devil Kings, which is on the PS2. And now they've decided to randomly release a new one. There's been quite a few iterations out in... I think they've had a fair few of them in America, but mainly it's a Japanese title. But that should be quite nice, because it's set in... When's it set?
Sometime.
Sengoku, of course. Why am I saying that? Because it's called Sengoku. But yeah, so that should be cool. You train up to be where you train up a set of samurai warriors and do battle and stuff like that. I quite like Devil Kings. It had cool cutscenes. But yeah, Bionic Commando Rearmed has also... Well, no. Bionic Commando Rearmed, the Xbox Live Arcade title, is getting a sequel called Bionic Commando Rearmed 2, which is set to come out on Xbox Live and PSN first quarter of 2011. Then they also officially announced Ghost Trick Phantom Detective is coming out over here, which is a DS exclusive title, which is created by the creator, well, the original director of Ace Attorney, and that's coming out winter 2010 in America and Europe. Then you've got Dead Rising 2 Prologue, which is called Case Zero, which is an exclusive Xbox Live title. It's not coming out on the PS3, which I think is quite cool. But Case Zero is set 2 years after the incident at the Willamette Mall, and is set 3 years before Dead Rising 2. I thought it sounded quite interesting because it introduces Chuck Green, the character of Dead Rising 2, and his daughter as well. And they're trapped in a little town, which has been overrun by zombies. And of course that are then...
Zombies? Why did you say so?
You know what Dead Rising 2 is.
My name's Frank West. I'm the guy who got killed in the mall in the last game.
But yeah, so it'll introduce the characters quite well, I hope.
So yes, I do know what Dead Rising is. Thank you very much.
I know, of course. You've played it. I know you know what it is anyway, Paul.
I've got it.
I know. Dead Rising 2 has also been confirmed that it's got a cooperative mode as well.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So there you go, we can kill zombies together, Paul.
Yeah, you say that, we still haven't played Gears of War 2 like we said we would do last week.
That's true, we did say that last week, didn't we? And that's set all to come out... I'm not sure when the prologue comes out.
In the future.
But Dead Rising 2 is set to come out September 3rd, so I imagine prologue might come out August time. Then they also announced a few pieces of DLC for Super Street Fighter 4, so there's a tournament mode that they're putting in, which allows you to... I noticed that the other day.
Yes, okay. Tournament mode?
Yeah, which allows you to play in a tournament. So you can become the best in the world that way.
I know I'm best in the world. I don't need to participate in some tournament.
They also announced as well that the day that Super Street Fighter 4 comes out, there's going to be some costume packs up for Hakan, Makoto, Guy, Dudley and DJ. Which is quite cool. And of course, the first free update for MotoGP 09/10 they've announced. Because of course, 09/10 only came with the 09 stuff, and the 10 stuff comes as DLC. So then they'll get all their 2010 players and the tracks and stuff like that, so that's cool. Yeah, so loads was announced at Captivate, really. Sorry, Paul. No. Yeah, so loads was announced that. Doctor Who Adventure Games. So anyone who watches Doctor Who, there's a Humongo fan base in the UK, as well as actually a fairly big fan base apparently in America now. The BBC have officially announced that they're making an adventure game, or four adventure games, I believe it's four.
Fun.
Which are like an extension on the series.
So who's actually developing the game?
Sumo Digital.
And what else have they done?
Sonic and Mario?
Oh dear.
I think they did Sega All-Stars Racing as well. They did one of the Broken Sword games though. But it's cool because they've got Charles Cecil working with them, who is the man who brought us things like Lord of the Temptress and Broken Sword and awesome stuff like that. We're going to have Charlotte talk about Doctor Who later on, so I won't mention much more other than the fact that the BBC are funding it. It's going to be available to download off the BBC website, and they recommend... Well, they didn't recommend.
Will international people also be able to download it?
I'm not entirely sure.
Or will they block people outside the UK?
Nobody asked that.
Nobody thought of asking that. That's the first thing you want to ask whenever the BBC releases anything for free.
Yeah. What, because the iPlayers...
Well, because we pay for the BBC.
And of course they don't pay for the BBC. They estimate the gameplay will be about 2 to 2.5 hours long, and it's a 250 meg download.
250 meg, we can't download that. That'll take ages on 56k.
Mm.
Lord of Ultima, a funky new browser-based online strategy jobby set within the Ultima Online universe. Well, Ultima universe. Previously explored with Ultima Online,
yes.
For those who can remember that EOLD game.
Did you play it?
I had it. I didn't play it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually going to review this, so I'm not really sure why it's in the news.
Well, we can just say that it came out out of the blue. It was developed by EA Phenomenon.
I don't actually know.
I'm not sure how to pronounce that.
I know. Let's log into Lord of Ultima and see what their name is.
It says there, EA Phenomenon. Go ahead.
Where?
You just covered it up.
Yeah, Phenomic.
yeah,
I just have to log in now to check my town centre.
EA released it out of the blue. It's a web-based browser game, as Paul said, and he's going to review it later on. But yeah, it was just saying that EA had released it.
Yeah, in more interesting news, Ubisoft have reached whole new levels of being cheapskates and have gotten rid of manuals.
Yeah.
Their justification of doing this is for environmental concerns. I would just like to point out at Ubisoft that paper is a brilliant way of tackling global warming because the carbon is locked up in the paper. You know? Paper comes from sustainable forests. You don't just cut down trees in a rainforest to make paper because it's not really that great a source for it. You know, you have sustainable forests. Those forests suck in the carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. We turn them into paper. We plant new trees, they suck in it again. So maintaining paper production is a really good way of tackling greenhouse gas emissions. And the fact that Ubisoft try and spin this into like a environmental thing is pretty pathetic. I mean, they cite power usage, but power can, you know, be supplied by renewable or nuclear sources which aren't polluting, like coal or oil. So yeah, Ubisoft, you are failed. Your attempt to cover up saying it's environmental is BS, and your calling it Ecotech DVD cases is lame. You know, remove your DRM on Silent Hunter, and we want full-page, proper-printed, chunky, big books again. You know, I want a book with a game. You know, a book costs nothing to manufacture, a few pence, and if a proper book, maybe a quid at the most.
Yeah, like colour and stuff. Well, actually, no, colour's just a few
hardback.
More pence.
I want hardback.
Okay.
Like, all shiny pages on high-quality paper with, like, ridged things so you can't get paper cuts on it. And even that wouldn't be that expensive. So, yeah, Ubisoft, stop being so flipping cheap.
I think it is a bit silly, though, because if they want to do a...
I would have used that as rant of the week, but I can't be bothered to copy and paste my thing in, so...
If they wanted to do a whole, like, overhaul, they would have then also done it to their studios. But they're not.
Yeah, like, turn their computers off at night.
Yeah, that's a major thing, I'd say. Or turning off
monitors. Not only will... I mean, there's no reason for them not to do that. And you know what happens? People just leave the building, like they're doing every other office thing,
yep.
And the computers are all just left on.
I turn my computer off.
Fine. I turn my computer off, but that's only because I won't be able to sleep with it on all the time and it'll make the room too hot and so on.
Well, I mean at work.
Well, I mean here.
I know so many people who don't.
Because we have to leave the tills on because otherwise they probably break.
Well, I turn it off because, you know, otherwise it's wasting electricity. Okay, not that I pay for that electricity at work, but
EA pay for it and they pay your wages. And if they have a £10 billion electricity bill because some mojo hobo decided to leave their computer on, they're going to have to lay a couple of people off.
I'm sure that they're bills are hugely expensive as it is anyway. It's crazy because of, like, the size of the building and stuff.
Yeah, but if you think about it, they could probably cut their energy bill by a third by turning computers off.
Yeah. Well, they try and get people to do it.
Well, they should just, like, if the computers are idle for so long...
They should just press a button and turn it off.
You know, it wouldn't be difficult for the IT department. Not so much on Windows XP era machines, but definitely Windows Vista and Windows 7 machines, and just set it to idle to sleep.
Mm.
And then, you know, take away people's administrative rights so they can't change it. Or I'm not actually sure if you can use group policy to enforce sleep, but I'm sure there must be an option for it, because sleep was one of the big things about Windows Vista, about how Microsoft were trying to get more people to do it, which is why the sleep button was like the default and everything.
But yeah, so Ubisoft officially launching this from this autumn with Shaun White's skateboarding, not snowboarding, being the first game to do it.
Oh dear.
Yeah, it's not.
I'm sure that's going to go down well.
Let's
face it, Skate has taken that market.
Well, yeah. But yeah, it's only PS3 and Xbox. Is it PC as well?
PC, well, they'd still have, they need some paper to put the flipping serial number on.
Actually, yeah, that's true. But yeah, they're not doing it with Wii and DS games. Not that I'm sure many.
No, I don't think unknown... I don't think Ubisoft really sell that many Wii and DS games, to be honest. I mean, they have the Imagine games.
I was going to say the Imagine games, they sell well.
Yeah, but I think games like that, you need a manual. Because it's kids, and kids don't know how to play games.
But yeah, so we're not really.
Look at my Moonglow Tower.
100% sure on the scrapping manuals. Many, I like manuals in games. As Paul likes books in games, as he said.
I remember buying SimCity, had a big ass book with it. I remember buying all these old games, they had huge books. The original,
nice.
The original Age of Empires, it had a giant, like, 200 page book in it. You know? Stop being so cheap and, like, giving us flimsy 2 page manuals and stuff.
That and the fact, of course, well, we also didn't mention that the way they're tackling this is they will then give in-game digital manuals.
Ooh.
Which you have to look at on the screen.
In the game? Well, let's hope I can figure out how to actually put the game into the console and play it.
It makes you wonder, though, like, if... how, well, how they do the interface for it? Because you'd have to zoom in quite a lot. Because
especially on a normal...
I was going to say, if you're on a tiny screen...
or a low-res, normal-definition TV.
Anyway, we've talked enough about this. So, next up...
let's talk about Blacklight Tango Down.
Yeah, Blacklight Tango Down has
this
also...
this is from the Zombie Studio people.
Yes. Who... oh, what did they make? I found out the other day what they made.
Zombie.
They make a lot of army games.
Isn't that zombie.com, isn't it? Well,
what? Where did that come from?
Your link in the show notes.
It was wrong.
Yeah. Shall I just change it to the right link? Zombie.com.
Yeah. Oh, they made the Saw game. Other than that, they make games for the army in America.
Apparently Sean thinks that game's brilliant.
Yeah.
They're doing a sequel.
It's not difficult. I'm sure they sold all 6 copies, which would have meant they made money on it.
But yeah, so Blacklight Tango Town has officially announced that there's a co-op in it. Blacklight Tango Down is a multiplayer-focused FPS that is a digital download on PSN, PC, and 360. Last up...
so this is an Xbox Live
arcade game. Yeah, it's a live title.
Do we know how big it is?
No, nothing said, but it's quite... it's apparently
it's obviously
going to
be quite
large.
Big, yeah.
Okay, so I've just got a few things to mention about London MCM Expo.
Can you hurry up, because we're way behind schedule.
Okay, I know. So it's just a brief couple of things that they've got going on. Which we will be attending in May. It's at the end of May this year.
Where am I going?
You don't have to come. Remember, it was really hot. And we got really bored. After not being sure what to do anymore. Do you remember? And you were standing and I was sat down on the floor. And then I wandered off. And then I wandered back. And then I wandered off. And then I wandered back. You don't remember it? We played Borderlands.
What's Borderlands?
Okay, anyway. So, one of the things they're trying to do... at
oh, is that that thing in that big building with all these flipping people who I didn't like?
With the free hug signs.
Flipping lame.
Okay,
right.
So...
right, I'm going to that, and I'm going to have hugs, £10. I'm going to make some money out of it. Because you can either, like, have a hug from that spotty little nerd kid there who's, like, 4 foot tall, or you can have a proper man hug.
Okay, so
£10.
One thing they try to do is they're going to attempt a DS world record, where it's just the fact of having a DS with a game inside it and to turn it on.
That is a lame world record. No offense.
It's the largest amount of DSs in one like space.
But I guess that's what you get when a world record book is sponsored by a drink.
But yeah. Also, if you do take part in it, you have the chance to win a DSi XL. They're giving away 5 of them, so that's quite cool. So if you've got a crappy old original DS and you want to upgrade, you could maybe win one. And
you don't even have to go to London, of course.
Well, if you live in London or if you go to an expo anyway, you can take part, because it's happening around lunchtime. I think it's supposed to start at 12, and they reckon it'll take half an hour.
Can I win a thing, please?
Well, I'm going to take part. I'll bring my DS down. Shall I bring a DS?
Can I win, Sonic?
Don't know. Do you want
to? Yeah, I want to win that £3,000 camera I'm still owed.
You're not owed it, Paul.
I am. They said, if you take part, we'll give you a £3,000 camera.
No, they did not. Anyway.
That's how I remember it.
Anyways. So they've also got Kyle Herbert going, who is the voice of Ryu from Street Fighter 4.
Mortal Kombat.
No, not Mortal Kombat. Anyway,
Mortal Kombat is better.
So they've got a voice actor. He's done like loads of anime and then a few video games. I think he's also been in Persona, but then
hang on a minute.
Been in Persona.
Why is this on GamerCast?
Because I'm mentioning a few things. They're game related, but I am mentioning that they got Ronald D. Moore. Sorry, they got Ronald D. Moore going. Who any nerd listening will know that he's written various things, such as Battlestar Galactica and DS9. He wrote some Next Generation as well as some Carnival, which is a bit more fantasy based than sci-fi. But I thought I'd mention that because he's like super awesome, and I'm getting him to sign my poster. Yeah.
Dear Ronald D. Moore, why does Renny Aubergine pull funny faces?
He mainly wrote stuff. Co-produced.
Wrote it. Renny Aubergine pulls a funny face.
Renny
Aubergine played Odo in Deep Space Nine, by the way.
And
it's not Aubergine,
that's how
I pronounce it. It's like Splinetra.
You only say Aubergine because that's what we said.
Aubergine. That's, I don't know how else to pronounce it.
Aubergine or something like, I don't know.
Aubergine. I should say Aubergine is easier. I don't know what an aubergine
is. You don't even know what an aubergine is.
I'm sure it's easier to say than an aubergine or aubergine.
I don't know how you say his name. But yeah, so Expo's happening the main day is the 29th.
You're clicking
which
my
is
mouse.
A Saturday, sorry. It's happening the 29th to the 30th of May. And yeah, you can buy tickets on the website and stuff like that. One other thing I want to briefly mention, they've got Ben Templesmith going, who is totally awesome and did the Dead Space graphic novel. And he's an awesome artist.
Yeah.
And they've got a few other cool artists going who I won't bother mentioning because no one will know who the hell I'm talking about. But yeah, so that's cool. We're going to Expo and hopefully we'll see some people there. And we'll be like interviewing people and playing games and stuff. It'll be fun.
Games, huh? Games are fun.
Games are fun.
Now, proving that we do care about your opinions, your letters.
We'll follow shortly after this disclaimer. GamerCast does not endorse any opinions and or views expressed in any of the letters we receive. All letters are presented as is and confers no warranty or rights. We had the standard letter from Charlotte. I'm going to skip over the first paragraph. Hi guys. Okay, Adam, there is no way that you can have anyone other than the Origami Killer as the Origami Killer. It is set in stone who the killer is. Wait a minute. Let me just stop here. You know, people say set in stone. You can quite easily rub a stone tablet down and then change it. Just because it's a bit more difficult than using a bit of Tippex.
How about stuck in the mud? I know you can get out of mud.
In the mud? You just put some water on it.
Well, it's totally set. Like concrete.
That isn't melting, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, there's the possibility of no structure in the game. Sorry, Adam. Your friend must be lying. Didn't I say this in last week's show?
We did, but Charlotte wants to also back you up.
Oh, okay then. People have the achievements for all endings, and there isn't one recording where the Origami Killer that Catherine got is ever any different. See, I made Charlotte sound cooler now.
Charlotte sound like that.
And don't forget, if you ever feel your episodes are short, I can do reviews for the show! Love the show, Charlotte. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Charlotte.
I don't know why we have your letters. We should just change it to Charlotte's letter. I suppose we do get Oxlow and then.
We could change it to your letters when we've got more than Charlotte.
You can, of course, send your letter to feedback@gamercast.net or leave it on the actual website itself, gamercast.net, in the comments section on the podcast entry. You can also leave a message on portalforums.net as well. Thank you.
It's time for
Name
That
Game.
So last week, everyone would have heard this. You guessed Total Annihilation?
Which I know it isn't.
And what did Adam guess? Adam guesses Fracknose. So I'm sure
he was on the show, but he didn't even guess.
Yeah, he didn't really guess, so I just wrote Fracknow. So, yeah.
We had Charlotte and Tim guess.
We had two people correctly guess.
Oh, really?
The answer, yes. Despite what I wrote on the show notes, people did get it.
Aww.
This is my little trick to, like, think you think they're thinking it wrong. Like, yeah, the answer was Command & Conquer.
When in it?
What do you mean, when in it? It's one of the soundtracks I played.
Okay.
Because in Command & Conquer, you actually had a soundtrack list and you could select what track to play in it. So, yeah, that was one of the sounds. Yeah, it was the March to Doom theme. So that was entertaining. This one is probably going to be more difficult or easier, depending on if you have played the game.
Oh.
So, yeah, any guesses?
It doesn't sound that familiar.
Okay, it doesn't sound that familiar. Well, I've never heard of that game personally. But I will just jot that down for the sake of the show.
Any clues? Other than, you know, if you've played it, you're on
a... Okay, it's not a strategy game.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's not a strategy game.
Is it new?
It's much newer than Command & Conquer.
Oh, it's really helpful. That's like a whole 16-year gap between now and then.
Well, take it or leave it.
How about... Is it PC? Or only PC? Or
I'm not giving anything, any platform hints this week.
Is it multiple then? How about if it's multiple or a singular platform?
It's on one platform.
One platform. I don't think I know what it is. I don't know. Oh, that sounded kind of music? That sounded kind of... familiar, when that music kicked in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll find out the answer next week, and maybe Adam will submit a guess so he doesn't lose another 5 points.
What's Adam at the moment?
I don't even know. I've lost track of my score thing. All I know is, like, he's well down.
I'm winning!
Yay! So, yeah, he had no... Well, I'm not going to, like, deduct him for last week, because he was actually guessed, here. Yeah.
Releases this week.
Okay, this week's releases. There's not too many games actually coming out. First up, you've got Iron Man 2 to accompany the film coming out.
Iron Man. Oh, God.
Yeah. So, it's a game based on the film.
It's a game, is it?
You, of course, play Tony Stark, who is Iron Man. And it's on 360, DS, PSP, PS3, and Wii.
Where's the Mac version?
Next up... Oh, that's... Can you place that in there, please?
Yes.
Next up, you've got the God of War Collection, which is the original God of War games, God of War 1 and God of War 2, which are reworked on a single Blu-ray disc at 1280 by 720, so to 720p. But bear in mind, that's from a PS2 tile. What's the resolution of a PS2 tile? Be tiny, hasn't it?
NTSC or PAL?
PAL.
So what are you looking at me for?
Would it just be PAL? So 576?
Well, PAL is 576 vertically.
I'm sorry. I just thought you knew everything.
Well, just standard definition. Well, it depends on what region you're in, because every region is slightly different TV formats. It's only when you had HD that now there's like you've got either 720p or 1080p.
Okay.
Which, of course, is 1280 by 720 pixels or 1920 by 1080 pixels.
Okay. So, yeah, they've been, as well as, like, scaled up, they've been remastered.
But, yeah, depending on if it supported widescreen or not on the PS2. Can you remember?
I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, it would have been 640 by 480 NTSC or it would have been 700-ish by 576 for PAL.
Yeah.
And obviously if it's widescreen it'd be a bit different.
Anti-aliased? Is that how you say that?
Anti-aliasing.
Anti-aliased.
Aliased. It's a D, not a T.
I said aliased.
Duh. Yeah, but what's really weird, I mean, how much has it been remastered? Is it actually the whole game being overhauled?
The whole game. Both games.
Okay.
1 and 2, and they run.
Because I was going to say, if it's just the same as PS2 graphics and they're just running at high def with maybe a bit of spit and shine here and there, why is it only running at 720p? Oh, maybe it's something to do with how slow the PS3 is.
It also has trophy support as well. Anyone who bought the God of War Ultimate Trilogy Collection thingy-majiggy that I bought will already have this. But they're releasing it as a standalone, even though they said they wouldn't. They decided they would. So yeah, it's just God of War 1 and 2 remastered, so looking nicer. Not as nice as God of War, as God of War 3, of course, but a bit nicer.
Yes, Tow Truck Simulator is also coming out this Friday.
As we mentioned. So yeah, Tow Truck Simulator coming out 30th of April.
Or as I say, titles. Grand Theft Auto Tow Truck Man.
Apparently it's got an SRP? What's SRP?
Suggested retail price.
It's got an SRP of 20 quid.
That's not bad, considering a lot of Excalibur games are 30 quid.
Yeah, they come out at 30 quid, usually.
The new World Cup game is also out.
Yes, and that's coming out on 360, PS3, Wii, and PSP.
Is there not a PC version?
There wasn't one there.
That's weird.
Maybe I missed it out.
Yeah, well, there's been other, like, you know, EA is still doing football games on the PC.
Yeah.
Although, of course, their FIFA Manager, which people keep asking me for, we don't have, and it's rubbish, and they don't buy Football Manager, which is much better.
Yeah. Everyone knows Football Manager's better. That's why it sells so well. But yeah, so you get to play the FIFA World Cup, compete as one of the 199 teams, and go to win the World Cup. I don't really know much about football.
Well, so, you know, it's...
We mentioned it previously.
It's for the World Cup in South Africa.
Yeah. So it's coming out at the time for when the World Cup is... going to
football,
start.
Where it's the sport where people kick a ball around.
I know what football is. But yeah, so it's going to sell like crazy. Because the FIFA games always do.
Yeah, Street Fighter 4.
Super Street Fighter 4.
Because Street Fighter 4 has obviously already come out.
But I didn't see a PC release. Because Street Fighter 4 came out on PC.
Street Fighter 4... was a really good PC release. It was games for Windows, and it had live support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it have achievements?
Yeah.
It had live support. I didn't know that. So I could play it on both, even though the achievements are really hard to get. Yeah, so...
One, and it was really cheap, if I remember correctly.
It went really cheap on Steam at one point, I think.
I think it was really cheap in most shops as well.
Yeah. So one of the main things to mention about Super Street Fighter 4, because of course it is... normal Street Fighter 4, but changed slightly with a few different additions as well as the extra characters. Wow, that's cheap.
Yeah, $6.99 on Games website, although it is out of stock.
But yeah, a main thing to mention is that you can't play online in Street Fighter 4 with players from in Super Street Fighter 4, you can't play with players who are playing Street Fighter 4. So it's not, of course, cross game, because games don't really do that. But
unless,
some
of course,
people might get a bit confused. It's what?
I was going to say Shadowrun, but that's obviously cross-platform.
That is cross-platform. But yeah, so none of your stuff from Street Fighter 4 goes across into Street Fighter.
So basically what you're
Street
saying
Fighter
is it's a new game.
It's a new game, but okay. It's the same game.
There's a new WarioWare coming out on DS as well. This is called DIY.
Yeah, you get to make your own microgames. So you don't just... you can play 90 of the pre-made games that they put in it.
But you can make your own with
you can make your own...
constructor, tool, builder, machine.
And you can also then upload those via the wirelessnessness.
Wirelessnessness
of the DS. And then
8
share
11.
It. Huh?
802.11.
B. G. And then you can share it with everyone.
I don't think the DS supports anything else, does it?
No, it's really fussy.
Just B and G.
Nintendo also claimed
Xbox
that they're going
A,
to...
Xbox supports A, B, G, N.
I know. Nintendo also claimed that they're going to regularly put up new games for people to download and play.
Yeah, we've heard that before.
But, of course, with that means if you're buying it and you have a DSi or a DSi XL, you cannot download things from a DS title. Does that make... Oh, well, if you're using a secure... What's the good secure network?
WPA and up.
Yeah. If you use WPA, you can't download things onto DS titles because the original DS didn't support WPA.
It only supported web, which is a waste of time, and you might as well not bother having encryption on.
Yeah, so I thought I'd mention that for anyone who would like to do it but has WPA.
Yeah, you'll need to set your router to WAP temporarily.
Or find another router.
Or find a neighbour's router.
But, like, I thought when I went back home last time, I'd be able to do it.
Gamercast does not WPA. Support or endorse stealing other people's wireless
well,
networks.
No. I said when I went back home, and everything's set to WPA, so I couldn't download anything. Because we're nice and secure.
Splinter Cell Conviction is also coming out on PC. Yep. This came out on the Xbox 2 weeks ago or so.
Yep, because it had an exclusive 360 release. We mentioned it previously. We had Charlotte and Tim come on and talk about the game. So if you want to know about the game, if you listen to that previous episode, you can hear all about it. There's a special edition like there was with the 360 version as well that you can pick up with a figure. And yeah, so it's just it on the PC. That's like it for the releases this week. I think there might be a bit more next week, I'm not sure.
Indeed.
Yeah.
The only thing is with this game, obviously, is it's Ubisoft, which means crazy DRM. They're too lazy to even make it Games for Windows.
I was going to say, I just noticed
even
that.
Games for Windows Live. So I'm not going to buy it. Sorry, guys, but unless you're going to give me some gamer score out of it,
imagine having Silent Hunter with gamer score. How awesome would that be?
It would be awesome. And, you know, and lose the DRM.
Sorry. Lose it? Yeah. Doesn't it have the...
Well, to be honest, Silent Hunter 5, I mean, it's a bit...
Removing a compass.
Well, not really that, but it's like a submarine game for noobs and 2-year-old kids.
Previews and or reviews.
So now it's my turn to do a review. And I'll show you noobs how to do a review.
You're allowed to review.
Yeah, but normally...
You did your AVP review, didn't you? With like 5 words.
Yeah, and that's I had to cut my AVP review down because you guys took so long on Final Fantasy.
Hey, it was mainly Adam.
Okay, Adam, it was you.
Yeah, Adam.
But you helped.
Aww.
So yeah, Lord of Ultima is that online webby game, which you can find at lordofultima.com. It's basically a browser-based real-time strategy game. Yeah.
Do you want to mention anything about the times? And
it's cool.
Like that? Or alliances?
It's cool.
Continents, worlds?
Oh yeah, well, because it's obviously online and persistent, it's broken down into separate servers, so you do have to make sure you're going to be playing on the same server as your mate. I'm on World 4. That is the server I recommend to anyone who is interested in joining the Gamercast Alliance, which is a bit like a guild from like World of Warcraft, only it's called an alliance.
That is, of course, if there's any space to get onto World 4.
Someone did sign up today and join the alliance.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
So, yeah, basically you start off with a town. This isn't really a good time to review it because I've only been playing it for a week. But I'm nowhere near like in combat or anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
So this is just the first review of the first like week or so of gameplay. So you start with the town center. You go through the tutorial, which I do suggest you do because you get loads of resources out of it. And like the first bit of upgrades, so you basically build, you know, your lumber mills and your stone quarries and your iron things and your farms to get resources. And then you spend resources on upgrading your buildings, building new buildings, recruiting infantry, recruiting horses, and various other things. And you can also, when you have shed loads of money, found a new town, so you can have multiple towns. Okay?
Yep.
The game itself is like divided into two levels. There's a city level where you just see your city, and then there's the actual region level where you can, you know, scroll around your continent and just check out all the other cities and towns. Building wise, the game starts off by allowing you to build relatively quickly, like you can upgrade a farm in like 6 seconds and so on. But obviously, because it is a web game and it's something you're supposed to check like every day or like every few hours, as you get higher level, building upgrades can take like 12 hours. So, you know, if you're upgrading your town center to like level 8, it takes hours, it costs a shed load of resources. So yeah, it's a bit like, you know, that stupid farm game in that it takes a long time for things to progress because obviously they don't expect you to be logged on all the time.
What, Farmville?
Yeah, these stupid other games.
I have never played it, so I don't even know what it's like. Have you played it?
No. Those familiar with Siviny or Evony, as it was later renamed, it's kind of similar to that, only it doesn't resort to advertising itself with softcore porn, which the former game did. Yeah, it's cool. I haven't really done any combat yet because I'm still building up my town and all these things. And that's cool when I'm raiding dungeons, because you build your troops and you get them to raid all these little dungeons and forest dungeons and dragons, which you can scroll around the region view to find, and you just tell your troops to go there. You don't see any of the troops on the ground, they just like go there, and then you get a report saying this is what happened, and then you get a report saying when they're back. Because yeah, I mean, if you're raiding a square next to you, it might take infantry like 2 hours to get there.
Whereas if it's on the other side of the continent,
you're going to be there for a while.
Yeah.
Like, I'm attacking a dragon at the moment, which is a good couple of screen distances away, and my troops won't be back until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. So that's cool. I do recommend it, people to check it out, especially strategy fans, because it does. I don't know. It's kind of cool. I've been logging in every now and then to check it. It's cool.
Do you recommend not leaving it open in the browser?
It does use... Well, no, you can leave it open in the browser if you want.
But it is a bit bad.
But I wouldn't leave it open all the time.
Like some people do.
Because, yeah, I mean, it does have a chat channel, which is constantly refreshing. It's also refreshing all your, resource levels.
Yep.
So there is a lot of traffic back and forth between the server leaving it open. So those on bandwidth limited connections might want to consider not leaving it open.
And just open it for short intervals like you have been recently. Because you were saying you're not addicted.
I'm not addicted. What was the game I loaded up before we started GamerCast? It was Civ 4. Civ 4 is a much better game, but this is a game you can just play for 10 minutes a day. And of course, you know, once I've got my castle built, I can go out and attack people.
Yep.
But I'm a bit scared. I don't know if I want to do that. Even though the GamerCast Alliance is humongo, it's one of the largest alliances on the server. And yeah. So if anyone tries anything funny,
Or a GamerCast to back us up.
Yeah, the only thing is, a lot of the other bigger alliances were playing during the closed beta and things like that.
Yeah.
So they already know how to play the game. They're already...
And they've already encountered, after a week's worth of play.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they've just carried on from the open beta, so they're, massively overpowered. Yeah. Luckily, the game seems to be divided into continents, which seem to, group players who start at the same time.
Okay.
So, I'm on continent 22... Everyone else on that continent seems to have started around the same sort of time.
I was on, continent 54 or something.
Yeah, because you obviously joined a lot later.
Just before it got full.
Yep. The game is free to play, although, like a lot of other games, you can buy...
Microtransactions.
Yes, it has features, microtransactions, where you can spend, £5 and get all these cool things to use in the game. So
diamonds.
Yeah, well, the currency in the game to get the high-level, cool, funky stuff, you get diamonds, you get, 500... for £5 or something stupid like that, and then you can spend 10 diamonds to get 5,000 wood or 5,000 stone and things like that. And then you can also buy diamonds to hurry production, rent ministers who can do things while you're not at the computer, so you could set up a massive build queue, or you can tell your war minister to send an army here at this time when you're not at the computer.
Oh, yeah.
So I do recommend strategy fans check it out, especially because it's free, and it's not, you only have to log in once a day to check what's going on.
Doesn't have much to do with the Ultima Universe, though, does it?
Doesn't seem to, but to be honest, I don't think the Ultima Universe was very fleshed out anyway.
It's got the same kind of styling.
Well, yeah, officially it's set, but obviously, it could be anything. It's got dragons in it, it's got mages in it, bog standard fantasy stuff. Okay, we are now joined by Charlotte.
Hello.
Who we sent off to Sheffield to go to the BBC's Doctor Who event, where they announced the new Doctor Who
adventure.
I don't really want to say game.
It is.
But.
Okay. Well, we were invited down to Sheffield. We actually went to
up. We have to. Well, go
did I say
up.
Down again? I always say down. Okay. Well, we went up to Sheffield then. Well,
by we mean not me.
No, I mean me and Stephen at Daily Joypad.
There you go, thank you.
Yeah. So I went up to Sheffield, and we got to go to Sumo Digital, which are the guys that are making it. They've done a lot of, they do projects for other people generally. So, what was it they've done? They did the track and field game.
Oh dear. that international track and field
game? Yeah, the
game.
One with all the little chibi-looking people. And they had, pyramid head and stuff. And then they did the supersonic racing gamey thing, the Sega All-Stars Racing. Is that what it was called? I don't know.
Yeah, Sega All-Stars Racing. Didn't they do the Olympic Mario and Sonics?
Possibly. They also did Rubber Dub. Do you know Rubber Dub?
I have no idea what a Rubber Dub is.
You know the game on the PS3 with the ducks? It was like a tech demo. Do you remember?
Oh, the tech demo for the PS3?
Yeah. Well, they made a game with actual ducks. Well, it was an awesome game. And they also did the Sudoku game on the PS3 and the PSP, which are really good.
Oh, but anyway, okay. So they've done a fair amount of games.
And apparently they pitched to the BBC for the Doctor Who game, because there was loads of people that pitched.
Basically, their pitch was, we'll be cheaper than everyone else.
No, it wasn't. but I mean, we actually got to do a bunch of stuff while I was there.
Yeah, apparently there were like robot Daleks which could actually talk.
Yeah,
and
there
stuff.
Were Daleks at the Sheffield station.
Did they have little midgets in, or how did they?
No,
work
they
exactly?
were they were remote control, and they were actually behind barriers. We weren't allowed to steal them.
Yeah, didn't want someone coming along and pocketing him one day.
Okay, they were 6 foot tall. Yeah. You're not going to pocket one.
I've seen the pictures. Yeah, you know. Two people could just carry one off.
Yeah, there was police around as well, so maybe they imagined that someone was going to try something. But,
oh look, we've stolen a Dalek and now it's put on eBay.
Yeah.
Here's my address of me and I've stolen it. You have to come get it. Oh no, the police have just come to get it. Well, aren't you going to pay me money for it? You're just going to take it? What the hell? I'm phoning the police. We are the police.
But after we'd seen the Daleks there, we were taken to the studios, and we sort of had like a timetable to the day. So the first thing that I did was I got to take part in a QA session with some of the people behind it. So they had Charles Cecil, who's like a massive adventure gamey legend. You ever heard of him?
I'm sure Catherine mentioned it in her news segment earlier on.
Yeah.
But I was just like, okay.
And then they had kind of a bunch of people that didn't really have anything to do with it.
Oh, I've got a question to ask, because apparently in the Q&A session, nobody bothered asking if it would be available to people outside the UK.
Oh, no, they didn't.
So why didn't you ask that? That's like the first thing that came into my head.
Yeah.
Dude.
Well, the first thing that came into my head was, so did you download it, or is it browser-based? And if so, how much is a download? That's the question I wanted, and that's the question I asked. I didn't think about... I imagine it would be available to other countries.
But that's just your guess.
That's my assumption.
Okay, that is not official Gamer Cast policy or BBC policy.
Yeah. But I mean, the Q&A was pretty standard. The thing is, because they weren't. Wait.
I've got another question to ask. Is the game any good?
Yeah. I'm going to get to that. I was just going to say that the QA session was a bit...
Did anyone ask that in the Q&A session?
No.
Oh, that's the two most obvious questions. One, can I download this game if I'm in somewhere else? And two, is it worth downloading? Because I'll tell you right now,
yeah,
I am not going to download it.
What's that?
I don't care about Doctor Who.
Well, yeah, just because you don't like Doctor Who. Doctor Who's got loads of fans everywhere.
Low budget, poorly made... TV.
But no one asked if the game was any good, because we got to play it later in the day. I mean, someone asked if the people had played the
game. If I was making a game,
and
someone just up front asked me, so is the game any good? And I thought the game was rubbish, I would just say, no, it's rubbish.
Yeah, I don't think people do that in general.
That's why they put me in charge of their PR stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I can't get a job at, 99% of game companies.
Because you've got to be honest.
Because I'm an honest person, you know? I can't lie and say a game's good when it's rubbish. That's why they have to put me in charge of something good, like Black and White 3. Assuming it's not rubbish.
Yeah.
Dear Lionhead, why don't you make the Doctor Who game and let these sumo people make Black and White 3?
But they've never made a strategy game before.
Take and learn. I'll be their chief designer. I'm Comrade Chief Designer. Hi. Anyway, aren't you supposed to be talking about Doctor Who?
Yeah, I was trying. But no, they did actually mention about how the game was good during the QA, but no one actually asked. Like, I would have asked some really kind of gamey questions, but there was no other games journalists there or anything. So I felt a bit
weird. So it was all weird journalists, like from newspapers and
like
weird stuff.
Doctor Who magazine and stuff like that.
Why did they invite people like that there?
Well, the thing is, there were other games journalists there, but I wasn't in their group.
They were in a massive minority.
But I mean, then we got actually a tour of their studio as well.
Oh, that was
which was
fun.
Quite cute, because we got to see the stuff, and they've got like arcade machines there and stuff.
We've got arcade machines in the GamerCast studio.
And then we got to actually,
which is our living room.
Yeah, we got to watch the episode that just aired this weekend, like before it got aired, which was quite cool because we got to see it in their
was
boardroom.
Was that the one with the angels?
Yeah,
or
with the angels.
Okay.
Yeah, but we got to watch it in their boardroom, which had like, you know, those like kind of racy chairs, and they were really comfy and soft, and it was on a massive TV, which was really cool. And then we actually got to play the game. I think we probably played it for about an hour. I think, but the time went by really fast. Basically, it's an adventure game, but with stealth. So it's like, I don't know what kind of adventure game to compare it to, really. But like, so adventure games are like story-based games, yeah. And so the games rely on a story, which is written by the guys at Doctor Who, like production company, and
Doctor Who people.
Yeah, the Doctor Who people. And then, because they couldn't see any other viable way of making it, like, interesting to kids, they decided that they'd put stealth into it, because otherwise it would just be a full-on, like, interactive story. And they've kind of done that before for Doctor Who, and it didn't really kick off as much as they wanted, because they realised that, actually, kids just want to shoot stuff. So, they put this stealth sort of mechanic in. But it actually works really well. And I'd say, I mean, it's, you know, it's not Splinter Cell, but for a game that is free...
Splinetra
Cell. For a game that's free, it's, you know, it's worth it.
Well, it's not free. We paid
well,
for
yeah,
it
I
the license
paid
fee.
The license fee, but we also got the TV, you know, channels for that as well.
Which
but,
we would have had to get anyway.
But, I mean, usually when a game's being released for free, you don't get, you know, as much of a development put into it. So, like, all the assets that they're making are really high quality, and the models are all really good. And, like, it... I mean, you know, they're getting paid to do it, but you'd kind of imagine that it wouldn't come
well, the
out
BBC
that
would say
game.
To them, yeah, we don't want to spend that much money on it, so, like, we see in your, like, concept ideas that you asked for 10 years development with 200 people on the project... Can you cut that back to one person on a project and 2 weeks development time, please?
Well, they've got about, I think, 20 people maybe it was on the project, and it's taken them 9 months so far to do the first episode, which is of 4 episodes. So we were playing the first episode that's called City of the Daleks, and it takes place in...
Daleks? Wait, aren't Daleks the bad people?
Yeah. They've taken over London in 1960... 463, so it's like a time paradox kind of thing.
I'm sure they haven't really. Don't panic.
But, I mean, it was quite a good, decent story, and you get to go to Scarrow, or Scarrow, which is the Dalek home planet, which has actually never seen, like, been seen before.
People... Daleks have a home planet?
Yeah.
I thought they were just built in some guy's basement under the TV studio.
No, they have their own planet, which has never actually been seen anywhere before, so the guys at Sumer actually got to kind of create this planet, which is a massive place in, like, the Doctor Who universe, which was quite cool for them. I mean, from playing the game, as a gamer, it's quite easy. Like, when we were playing it, there was about there were 6 of us in the room, and we were kind of playing it 2 to a station. And the guys next to us, one of them worked for the Doctor Who Adventure Games... No, Doctor Who Adventures magazine. And I don't know what the other guy did, but they were really crap, and they kept dying. And then I was sitting with, her name was Melinda from Miss Geeky, and she's a gamer as well. And
yeah,
we were just kind of going, like, really fast through it. And when they found out how far we were, they couldn't believe it. But kind of, I don't know what kind of would be the best way to describe the stealth system, but it's quite basic. Like, it's not, you know, Metal Gear Solid. But you can just kind of sneak past everyone without them noticing, because they just have a limited field of view. And I mean, in terms of it being an adventure game.
Wait a minute. Let me just butt in here. Because So they've got the field of view thing, which I assume sweeps back and forth as they look around. Yeah, you can
actually see
it as well. Yeah, Catherine said you could see
it. Yeah.
Don't they have hearing, these guys?
Apparently not. No, you're sneaking. You're crouching around.
If I was crouching around behind you, you think you would hear it?
If you get within a certain distance of behind them, they will notice that you're there.
This game seems a bit easy to me.
It's meant for kids, though. It's meant for... They're trying to target it, basically, at everyone. Which is kind of impossible, if you ask me.
It is impossible, because they just make it into a rubbish game.
Well, the thing is that apparently the kids really enjoyed it that were playing it there.
Kids. Kids enjoy anything. Here's FIFA 06. Wow!
Well, I think they were disappointed that you couldn't actually shoot anyone.
It's Doctor Who.
Well, yeah.
What do they expect?
It goes against the BBC's, like, ethics kind of thing. They didn't want... That was a ground rule that they set out. You can't have the Doctor kill anyone or hurt anyone. So I think after Sumo were told that, they were like, oh, what the hell kind of game are we going to make? but looking at it as, like, an adventure game, like, it's no, you know, Discworld or Broken Sword or anything like that. Or, you know, Simon the Sorcerer.
Hey! Or what about Whispered World?
Yeah, it's no Whispered World either. But, I mean, they've got Charles behind it, who, of course...
Charles Cecil.
Who,
Cecil.
who sort of made the Broken Sword games. And, well, they're one of the most amazing series of adventure games.
Are they?
Yes.
Never heard of it.
Shut up! They're amazing! They're like from the mid-90s. They were a really good series.
Dude, it's a joke.
Okay. You do know about them then?
Of course I know about them.
Well, it's not like that. Like, it's got the same feel of an adventure game, but there's no combination puzzles, or you're not clicking on everything, trying to find stuff. So it's not... You know, your standard adventure game, but they still have dialogue sections, but it's generally you're just talking
once or twice. Okay, cool. So, is that it, or...?
Oh, and they've put in collectibles as well.
Great, because everyone likes collectibles.
Well, apparently they put it in for kids, because kids like picking, like, you know, they like football cards and stuff, so they'll be like, hey, I've got this Doctor Who card, what one have you got?
Punch.
Anyway, you'd want to play the game and get all the collectibles. And it's got save functions as well, so it is like a proper game.
I'm not going to get any gamer score out of it.
Well, maybe they'll link it up to the gamer score.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
But, no, I mean, it's... From what we played, it's definitely worth downloading when it comes out on the 5th of June.
But it's not exactly a game you'd spend £40 on.
Well, no, it's a game you'd spend 20... See, you'd spend £20 on it.
I wouldn't spend £20 on it. I wouldn't even spend £20 on Napoleon Total War. That's a brilliant game.
If they released all four episodes that have... They've got a runtime of about, I'd say, an hour and a half, 2 hours. I would spend £20 on all four.
In total?
Definitely, yeah.
Okay. Is that it?
Yeah, but I mean, you can...
I know you've got this list of things
here. Well, no, I've already said most of that, but
I'm concerned I don't want to cut you off in the middle of the list.
Like, the Doctor Who Adventure Games... will be the first episode, City of the Daleks, will be out on the BBC's website from the 5th of June.
5th of June, that's ages.
Yeah, it is ages away, and they haven't actually said when
I want it now.
They haven't said when the others are coming out, but...
I want to get my collectibles.
I imagine that they'll be coming out kind of periodically, but I don't think they end the season until September. I think that's when they stop Doctor Who, is it then? I think it is. So they've kind of got from June till September to sort of release them. And that is, of course, if they don't release them, like, over Christmas. But, I don't know, they're trying to market it at grandmas and mothers and all
people who would watch the episode anyway, and they think, oh, we get these sort of gamey episodes as well.
Hmm.
So, you know, I personally, things like this never work, because...
Well, that's the problem they're trying to face, and they're just hoping that it does, I suppose.
Well, my philosophy is, if it's not going to work, don't bother trying.
Well, then they're never going to do
anything. And if you are going to try, you make sure it will work and blow loads of money on it.
The thing is, this is the first real Doctor Who game ever, not including Doctor Who Top Trumps. So, it should be big. But I...
It's if Doctor it, Who. There's no one care about it.
Well, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Out of all the blogs I read, only one person ever mentions Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Out of this massive list of blogs I read.
Oh, is that your feeds, yeah?
Yes, they haven't loaded. There we go.
Okay.
Out of all of these people, only one of them mentions Doctor Who.
Is that us?
No, that's the bad astronomer.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know.
Who may or may not be able to actually download the game because he's not based in the UK.
No. Well, if they don't, then that's the thing, though, because their licensing is different with other countries. So, like, for all we know, they might, you know, release an actual copy out in America.
Well, they could do. Yeah. But they could just block it like they do iPlayer.
Oh, do they really? Oh, I thought that you could just... Okay, then it probably won't come out to other countries, will it? I don't know.
Yeah, so nobody knows, and nobody bothered to ask. This is the trouble when they don't send me to these events.
Well, if you just sent me with a list of things to ask, then
I could really be bothered to go anyway, because I have to go to London, yeah. Then I have to go across London, then I have to go to Sheffield, wherever that is.
Well, I think it must have took... I must have been travelling for about...
You were out for like 16 hours.
Yeah. I left at... When did I leave? I left at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I came back at about 9:30 in the evening.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of those sort of days. I like the day where I get up about 12 o'clock, I do a couple of hours work, and then I go back to bed.
Yeah. It was fun, though. And the game looks good.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that preview. I'm sure we'll have a review of it in June.
Yep.
When I'm sure everyone in this household, apart from me, downloads it. So yeah, we'll be back next week.